Afro-American essay, as I see it, was not an essay that dealt largely with esoteric subjects or with subjects of individuality, but rather that dealt with subjects that were very, very critical to the current status at any point in time of the Afro-American community.
Dr. Thomas Schick, stating the purpose of essays written by Afro-Americans. This is the Literary Corner, Black Writers of the World, a series of analyses and interpretations of Black world literature. Dr. Schick is an historian and is our guest analyst from the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Department of Afro-American Studies. Today, he and our regular analyst, Professor Sarah Fabio, also of the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Department of Afro-American Studies, will discuss the Afro-American essay. And now, Dr. Thomas Schick.
The experience of writing in the English language in the United States on the part of Afro-Americans comes out of a very particular and important aspect of that experience. What I mean by this is that although up until the Civil War, the overwhelming majority of Afro-Americans were slaves, there was, from the colonial period time, a small segment of that population that had secured their freedom, either through personal manumission or through the state abolition of slavery in the North that occurred after the American Revolutionary War. And so there was this population that Professor John Hope Franklin called the quasi-free Negro, meaning those individuals who were not technically slaves, but were faced with the burden of race as defined in the United States. And it was within this community of people that the first essays were written and published. They were essays that were designed to address the problems of the race.
Tom, I can think of one of those, like a narrative of the proceedings of the black people during the late awful calamity in Philadelphia, and a refutation of some censors thrown upon them in some late publications. This was done in 1794. And this pamphlet was written by Absalom Jones and Richard Allen, organizers of the Free African Society, and it praised the Negroes for helping during an epidemic of yellow fever. And of course, other people like James Fortin in 1818, Lydia Child, 1833, and Robert Purvis also did this kind of defense pamphlet writing.
Yes, and that particular one is important because in the Philadelphia yellow fever epidemic, black people served the city in general by helping to aid those ill and to remove the bodies of those, the corpses of those who had died. And yet in spite of that service, the general press had given them a very negative publicity during that time. And this pamphlet, which really was an essay, was an attempt to deal with that. There were also others that were that grew out of ideology questions within the Afro-American community. There were those in the society among free Afro-Americans who thought that the solution to problems of Afro-Americans would be found in immigration outside of the United States, and so that you find that there are people who write long essays to convince free Afro-Americans that they should in fact immigrate. A very important one, of course, is Edward Wilmot Blyden's essay entitled The Call of Providence to the Free Colored People of the United States. And in this essay, he documents and presents a very important argument for why Afro-Americans ought to immigrate to West Africa, in particular Liberia. At the same time, there were those in the Afro-American community who denounced colonization and immigration. Right. And for them, they also took the essay form as a way of making their points known. I think David Walker's appeal in 1829 is an excellent example of that, a very inflammatory pamphlet that was circulated widely. In fact, was condemned as seditious material in many states in the South. David Walker defining a number of things as being the cause of the current degradation of the population. One of those causes he considered the scheme of colonization.
Right. Who was it that did the search for a place?
That actually is a compilation of two reports done by Martin R. Delaney and Robert Campbell, both free Afro-Americans who went to West Africa in search of a suitable place for colonization.
Right.
And they wrote back very long reports about their experiences in Nigeria. But unfortunately for the colonizationists, the Civil War broke out, and Delaney, among others, rushed back to the U.S. to
participated in the
Civil War,
right.
And later in Reconstruction politics.
Right.
What about some of the later essayists that came onto the scene toward the end of the 19th century?
W.E.B. Du Bois began to write essays that he published in journals, in national magazines, essays that have now been compiled together in a book and an anthology of his writings called The Souls of Black Folks.
Mm-hmm. Which was done late 19th century.
Yes. Probably the most important of those essays is one entitled on Booker T. Washington and Others, which was his most succinct criticism, analysis and criticism of the Booker T. Washington program of accommodation, especially as it applied to education. And his admonishment to the Afro-American community not to ignore the importance of higher education, because, of course, Washington was most interested in industrial education for the masses.
You know, I think, Tom, before that, the same Martin Delaney, who became a physician, scientist, novelist, and political writer, as well as we said, a Reconstruction politician and many other things, he had written The Condition, Elevation, Immigration, and Destiny of the Colored People of the United States, politically considered, as one essay. And then that wonder man, William Wells Brown, who did the first novel, and first drama and many other things, he had written a thing called The Black Man, His Antecedents, His Genius, His Achievement, about 1863. And these also kind of set precedents for the kinds of things that people would be writing about, like Alexander Crummell will be writing about the African or so later on, you know, and trying to keep alive memories with the Afro-American and his past.
During the Harlem Renaissance, Professor Fabio, who were some of the writers of essays during the Harlem Renaissance?
Well, if we would pick up Du Bois again, and as we said, certainly, they say between the beginning of the essay form almost in 1940, that Souls of Black Folk is the most important essay out. Du Bois also did Dusk of Dawn, which he calls an essay toward an autobiography of a race concept. And because Du Bois lived so long and wrote so well and thorough, you know, you have him really dip it into forms. During the Harlem Renaissance, you can't overlook Alain Locke, who edited The New Negro.
Of course.
And his essays were very important in terms of aesthetic consideration of new work. Probably with Alain, you start getting essays on art, you know, on literary essays, because before that time we had very little need to do that kind of essay.
And a direct point to that one, or connected with that one, is the question of whether critiques are essays. How close are critiques to essays?
Critical analysis.
Yes.
Are literary, are a form of literary essay? I think you'd have to say that. For instance, such things as Saunders Redding, who will write things like American Negro Literature. They became long essays on literature. and Jimmy Baldwin, who in his Nobody Knows My Name would do things like the discovery of what it means to be an American. And here, as Tom says, this precedence is set very early. I mean, people are still looking for that. What does it mean to be an American? Where do we have to go in order to fully realize ourselves? You know, can it be within the context of America, or must it be within some other context? People like Ralph Ellison, certainly in his Shadow and Act, did a very fine book of essays that commented very widely on things from American literature, all kind of literary treatments, Richard Wright's blues, bird watching and jazz. I mean, he just runs the gamut of possibilities.
In summing up, I'd like both of you, if you will, to talk a little bit about some more contemporary essayists.
You certainly can't overlook Malcolm X, who does do some essays, as does Eldridge Cleaver and a whole group of people who are very different, are not that different from maybe David Walker and his appeal.
Yeah. One thing I would like to say that is probably the one of the more useful contributions to the essay as opposed to any other form in Afro-American writing is the fact that by being a relatively short piece of work, the dissemination of it was a lot wider than could be anticipated from longer novels and other forms, because many of the essays that are important that we're talking about first appeared in newspapers and in magazines. Some of them appeared as editorials.
Right.
I think
particularly
Du Bois,
in Crisis and Opportunity.
Yes, and Opportunity. Those magazines were very important for providing for general readers a focus on subjects. And one in particular that I'd like to go back to is, of course, The Black Scholar. For so long, it has been within the pages of The Scholar that that essays have addressed political questions and as well as academic questions in a manner that is truly in the tradition of the Afro-American essay from David Walker.
And of course you have to also remember Negro Digest and Black World, that later became Black World, because that was also a magazine that published essays as well as other
forms. And we also must remember that with the Black Arts Movement and the inability very often to be published by large publishing, established publishing houses, that in some sense the pamphlet, the easily distributed pamphlet, has been revitalized through a number of different groups and various parts of the country who have taken it upon themselves to publish their own work.
Like Third World Press comes readily to
mind.
But also, we ought to remember those journals, like the Negro Journal and Phylon from Atlanta University and College Language Arts, the CLA Journal, so that always kept the essay alive.
A discussion on the Afro-American essay with Dr. Thomas Schick and Professor Sarah Fabio, both of the University of Wisconsin's Department of Afro-American Studies. This has been the Literary Corner, Black Writers of the World, a series of analyses and interpretations of Black world literature. Our operator has been Bob Cham. I'm Brooks Robinson. The Literary Corner was made possible through funds from WHA Radio, Madison, Wisconsin, a service of the University of Wisconsin Extension.